2 Chronicles 24. I want you to look again with me at verse 15 of this text. You'll notice a remarkable thing happens to Jehoiada the priest for an even more remarkable reason. Verse 15, but Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings. Now, just to put into context how unusual it was to bury a priest in the city of David with the kings of the royal cemetery, I'll remind you that many of the kings themselves, were not permitted to be buried among the kings. Notice the last line of verse 25. It says, and they buried him, that's Joash, in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. Now think about that. Joash, who for most of his life was a good and godly king till he turned from God, was not afforded the honor of having a royal funeral. Nor, by the way, was King Jehoram, King Uzziah the leper, King Ahaz, and others. And why? Why would you exclude from the nation's leaders, if you will, the sacred tombs for their burial? Well, it's because the Arlington Cemetery of Israel, the Westminster Abbey of God's people, was always meant to be the exclusive and hallowed grounds of the noblest and godliest of Israel's kings. This was a royal cemetery. And yet here is a man, Jehoiada, who's not even a prince. He's a priest. And the irony is, he was a priest who served the same king who was not giving the honor of a state funeral. Jehoiada, who was not royalty, was treated like royalty. And note this carefully, he was treated like royalty for one great reason. Verse 16 again. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. What house, Pastor? The house of God. The house that Solomon built to the glory of God just five kings prior to Jehoram. In fact, the ancient rabbis believe that it was Solomon's own words that were read at Jehoiada's humble burial, and specifically the words of Proverbs 10:7, which say, the memory of the just is blessed. Now, nobody knows if that rabbinical tradition is true, but I can tell you what is true. What is true is that nobody embodies the words of that proverb more than a faithful and aged man who never sat on a throne, who never wielded political power, who never wore a crown, who never acquired great wealth. Jehoiada was a priest, much like every believer in this room is a priest, who simply, what did it say, did good in Israel, both toward God and toward God's house. And so it is. I hope you listen very carefully. I want us to consider this wonderful man's testimony as we speak on the subject, the memory of the just. Father, please help us at this time and this moment to focus our hearts and minds on what the Spirit saith to the church. And I pray, God, in hearing, we will also heed the things the Holy Spirit convicts us all about. Thank you for putting into your word all these things that were written for our learning, for our admonition. May we hear and heed. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most oft-repeated themes in all of Scripture is the very powerful subject of remembering. The Lord Jesus, as you know, in his Last Supper memorial, the Passover, admonished his disciples and all believers to do something, quote, in remembrance of him. Paul told young Timothy to, quote, put these things in remembrance. Isaiah said to remember the former things. The psalmist said, we remember Zion. Abraham said to the rich man in hell, son, remember thou in thy lifetime. Jesus, in a verse of just three words, once said, remember Lot's wife. And so it goes that throughout the Bible, the focus of the Holy Spirit is oftentimes placed upon a person's memory. After all, your ability to remember things will either be a tremendous blessing or a terrible, terrible curse. Oliver Wendell Holmes once wrote that the memory, quote, is a net. One finds it full of fish when he takes it from the brook, but a dozen miles of water have run through it without sticking. In other words, You don't remember everything that runs through the net of your mind, but that which does remain and that which constitutes your memories is a matter of either floating through the swamps of your past or rejoicing in the clear knowledge of God's blessing and truth. And the difference is you. For a man who lived long ago in the nation of Israel at Judah, his life of sincere, simple godliness and service to God was memorialized in the most powerful and dramatic way possible. He was buried. Nobody else. He was buried in honor among the great kings of Israel. You see there David and Solomon and Jehoshaphat and Jehoiada. What's he doing there? Now, folks, imagine how that honor might look today. A cemetery reserved only for our greatest leaders. And there's a plot for Washington and John Adams and Lincoln and Reagan. And right next to them, Charles Fike, Bob Anderson. Why not? Look again at verse 16. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings because, what did he do? He had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward God's house. Hey, apply that right now. And they buried him in the city of Washington among the presidents because he did good in America, both toward God and toward his church. I have to tell you, that's my memory of scores and scores of believers I've known through the years. In Jehoiada's case, the memory of the just was truly blessed. And it was truly blessed for three specific reasons, different reasons, all of which can be true of you and can be true of me today. What does it mean? What does it mean that the memory of Jehoiada was blessed? Because I'm telling you this morning, people are remembering your name. If I mention your name somewhere where you lived or worked or went to school, they will have a memory of you. What is that memory? The first thing I want you to notice, number one, concerns Jehoiada's own memories. In other words, his own memories were blessed by his life. Look at verse 14. Jehoiada, you'll notice, led the nation into giving to the restoration of God's house. It says, and they finished it. When they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, and spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord. Here it is. Look at this. Continually, all the days of Jehoiada. All the days? All the days? How many days are we talking about? Look at verse 15. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. And 130 years old was he when he died. In other words, now follow this carefully. Here is a just man, or here is a just woman who obviously has an entire lifetime of his or her memories. And of course, in the same way that a wicked person has a lifetime of memories, so does a just person. Everyone has the net. And what does God say? He says the memory of the just is blessed. It's not bitter. In other words, let's just take this current year. Everybody in this room who still be alive is going to come to the end of this year with certain memories of 2017. Many of those memories you have already forged. And you know, for the most part, those memories are either going to be a blessing or a burden. You say, Pastor, which will it be? Well, for the most part, understand this, it depends on whether or not you live as a just person or an unjust person. The point is, you are the one who is planting the seeds of your own lasting memory. Back when I was a teenager, we used to sing in North Carolina the song, Precious Memories. How they linger. How they ever flood my soul in the stillness of the midnight. Precious sacred scenes unfold. And it's true, in the stillness of the midnight, they linger. They flood your soul. The question is, will they be precious? Or will they be painful? For this man, Jehoiada, the Bible says he lived, quote, full of days. You know what that means, full of days? It means his life mattered. His days were full. Verse 14, look at it, says that God's will was honored in the temple. What? Continually, all the days of Jehoiada. In other words, this man did not waste his days with selfish pursuits and evil scheming and power grabbing and destroying others like those around him. He didn't go around doing evil. He just did good in Israel so that by the end of his long 130-year life, longer than any other man other than the patriarchs, his memory, his own memory, was blessed. That means at midnight, if he couldn't sleep, he had a treasure trove of good memories to rejoice, to smile about. Now compare that for just a moment with his mother-in-law, Athaliah. You know, Athaliah, in my opinion, was the most vile woman in all of Scripture. Her hero was her mom, and her mom was Jezebel. But she outperformed her mother's evil by a mile. Turn back a couple pages. Look at chapter 22. Notice what it says in verse 10. But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. Now, folks, you understand that 2,600 years ago, it was almost common for pagan leaders in the Orient to kill their potential rivals, including brothers and sisters. But Athaliah killed her own grandchildren just to consolidate power. Can you imagine that? Grandma, Mimi, Meemaw, are we going to bake cookies? No, I have other plans. Can you imagine a grandmother like this? She wanted to kill a little baby named Joash. But you see, this man, Jehoiada, in his courage, took that baby away, protected that baby in his life, in the temple for 6 years. Imagine how difficult that would be for 6 long years. Difficult and dangerous, yes, but he's doing good. This man was doing good, and he was storing the memories of a just man, Athaliah. She's also storing memories. And they are memories of bloodshed and revenge, idolatry, paranoia, and ambition and infanticide. For 6 long years, she sits on a throne that she usurped until Jehoiada brings Joash forth as a little boy, and he and the priests anoint him as king. Look at chapter 23, verse 11. And they brought out the king's son and put upon him the crown and gave him the testimony and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, God, save the king. Now when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people into the house of the Lord, and she looked, and behold, the king stood at his pillar at the entering in, and the princes and the trumpets by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and sounded with trumpets, also the singers with instruments of music, and such as taught to sing praise. Then Athaliah rent her clothes and said, treason, treason. Can't you hear this hypocrisy?
Treason.
You know, it's never beyond the vilest of lawbreakers to scream about the law when it fits their needs. Russia, Russia, or whatever you want to put in there. And of course, her epitaph, her tombstone would read quite differently than that of Jehoiada's. Look at chapter 23 and verse 21. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet after that they had slain Athaliah with the sword. In other words, ding dong, the witch is dead. All right, true, but let me ask you this question. In all the years preceding that demise, when Athaliah was holding the scepter and the treasury and all the power, and Jehoiada was constantly on guard for his life, whose memories would you had rather have? Grandpa Jehoiada, tell us about your memories. Tell us about what it was like to hide the future king, a little boy, in the temple in obedience and honor to God. Or would it be, Grandma, tell us your story. Tell us about the time you killed all our cousins and blasphemed God with Baal worship. Remember that, Grandma? You see, folks, that epitaph by Solomon doesn't just say the memory of the just is blessed, because it goes on to say in the very same verse, but the name of the wicked shall rot. So that two memories are on display, both there and here in our text. One is blessed with a lifetime of doing good. The other is burdened with the deeds of darkness and all of their memories. All of their memories are the fruit of their own seeds planted by their own hands. And so are mine. And so are yours. We have memories. Old ones and very old ones. The good news is this. By the grace of God, you can determine in large part what all of the new ones will be. At the end of this year, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, in the stillness of the midnight, what kind of memories will flood your soul? The memory of the just is blessed, his memories, yes. In addition to that, in addition to his own memories, I want you to notice number two, it's also memories of him that are blessed. Not just the memories that he has, but memories that people have about him. Look at chapter 24 and notice again verse 15. It says, "But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings." Let me ask you a question. Who's the they? Well, folks, they is the people who were influenced and blessed by Jehoiada's life. They are the ones who remember and have memories of this man, the difference that he made by doing good in the land of Israel, both to God and to God's house. And this is really the primary interpretation of that Proverbs. It is It's the memory that others have of the just person that God says is truly blessed. For example, the memories that I have of John Lowe and Roy Rood and Margie Cook and Betty Fitzgerald and Gail English and Chris Anderson and Tom Jordan, all the way back when I came in 1987. You see, this is the reason that people named their children Paul, not Pilate, John, not Judas, Samuel, not Saul, Jonathan, not Joab, David, not Demas, Andrew, not Ahab, Joanna, not Jezebel, Anna, and not Athaliah, and of course, James, not Remo. Amen. The name of the wicked shall rot. You know, two things result in the life of an unjust person. Either A, people don't remember them. They can build great business, great enterprise, but because they were so ungodly, they didn't touch anybody in a good way, people forget all about them. Or B, what they do remember is just condemnation. King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 8:10, "I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is vanity." I don't know about you. I don't really want a material memorial set up anywhere when I'm gone. I wouldn't give a nickel to have my name on a ball field or a few bricks of the Magic Kingdom. I'm not condemning you if you did that. I think I saw some of your names there a few years back. Eisenbach on one little Mickey Mouse thing over here. I don't really care about that, ever, that my name's on anything. But I have a family and a church and friends and brothers and sisters and most importantly a Savior to whom my life is imparting memories. In other words, we're always choosing what other people remember about our faith or lack thereof. You know, everything that I remember about Joe Stoll Sr., I didn't even get to know him until he was way up in years, late 80s, 90s. But every single thing I remember about that man is a blessing to me. And while it does not cause me to want to glorify Dr. Stoll, it does cause me to want to glorify Dr. Stoll's God, because I love that faith. There's an intriguing and significant aspect to a Jehoiada's life. It's highlighted by the Lord Jesus himself in the Gospel of Matthew. Our Lord was in the temple in Matthew chapter 23, and he was teaching in Jerusalem, and he turned his attention specifically to the Pharisees. And he says, "Upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Now note that. A righteous martyr named Zechariah mentioned in the lips of our Lord Jesus. Who's he referring to? Well, folks, he's remembering Jehoiada's own son. Look at chapter 24 again. Jehoiada has just died. The young men, the Bible says, go to the king and convince him to turn away. Verse 20, and the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forgotten the Lord. He hath also forgotten you. Now watch this. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. You see, folks, Zechariah knew. This young man knew that if he obeyed the Spirit of God who was giving the Word of God in his mouth, that he was putting his life in danger. He knew that God's Word would not be accepted, was not popular. But you know something? Not far from where he was standing at that moment, there was an unusual grave. Among, of all places, the kings of Israel. And it was that of his father, Jehoiada. And Zechariah's memory of his father's faithfulness, both to God and to God's house, blessed him to be faithful and to be true, providing the Lord Jesus himself with a blessed memory of Jehoiada's family. I ask you a question. What memories will you forge in other people's minds in the coming months? The memory of the just is blessed. His own memory is blessed. Memories of him are blessed. And then finally, number three, I want you to notice, and this is crucial, memories because of him are also blessed. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, we said earlier that you create memories, that you, by virtue of your life and your life's decisions, create memories in your own mind and in the mind of your name and your character. But also, a man like Jehoiada and a just person creates memories that are blessed in the mind, creates the memories that are blessed in their minds. For example, I have blessed and wonderful memories of riding a bus to church when I was 12, 13, and 14 years of age. Included those memories are getting saved at 12 and being called to preach in youth camps and Bible studies. They are precious and blessed memories in my mind. The only thing is, I don't know who paid for that bus. I don't know who put that gospel tract on my desk when I was in the eighth grade. I don't know who found that youth group and gave money so that I could attend that camp. I don't know who provided the conference where I first felt the call to ministry. I didn't know. I just have blessed memories because somebody gave. Because somebody served. Because somebody reached out. Some just person, someone who lived a godly life, provided blessed memories in my own life. I often use the illustration of children and the fact that your children and your grandchildren in this room will have a ton of memories, not just of you, but because of you. In other words, you are building their memories. Do you realize how powerful that is? You take your children to see a trashy movie and you have created the memories in that child's mind and heart. You did that. You take your children on a family vacation or to church, you've created a whole separate memory. Put it to you this way. I never knew Ronald Reagan. He never knew me. But for 8 years, when I was a young preacher and we were a newly married couple, he created memories for my family. I don't know Bill Clinton, and he doesn't know me. But for another 8 years of my life, he also created memories for me and, at that time, my young boys. O.J. Simpson created memories that I have. But so does Tim Tebow create memories that I have. And so it is that all of us every day are creating other people's memories, and memories, whether blessed or bitter, change people's lives. This is why spending time with your children and your grandchildren, your loved ones, fellow believers, is far more important than maybe saving or earning just a few more dollars. You're providing them with memories, and especially in the context of service to God, memories last longer than money does. And it is just people. It's the Jehoiadas of this world. It is godly, humble, selfless Christians whose very lives create blessed memories in the hearts of other people. On the other hand, it's entirely possible to be responsible for bitter memories in the hearts of others. People walk through those doors and they have a memory of this church. If they walk through this door for the first time, they leave with a memory. An unkind word, an unwillingness to move aside on the pew, a rejection. You created that memory of perhaps a lost person. By the same token, someone walks in and they're greeted and they're prayed for and they're blessed and they're encouraged. What a memory. Chapter 24, look at verse 7 for a moment. It says, for the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman. How would you like to be titled in the Bible, that wicked man or that wicked woman? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. Thanks for the memories, Athaliah. How many mothers do you suppose? I want every young person in the room to hear me tonight. How many mothers do you suppose sit awake at night crying themselves to sleep because of a wayward son or rebellious daughter? I remember a dear man in Port Huron, Michigan, where I served for a couple years, whose son was rebellious. Always constantly in trouble with the law. He attended our Christian school. We would drive by his house because he lived fairly near us, and he'd be working outside. Calloused hands, weather-worn face. He was a hard-working, honorable man who did the best he could to raise his family. But you know something? After his son started into a life of sin and rebellion, I noticed this man's shoulders stooping a little more, and there was a sadness in his eyes and a slowness to his steps. Sometimes he would weep, and I couldn't help but think of what his son always said to me when I tried to help him. Same old cliches. He'd say, "Brother Jim, it's my life. I'm not hurting anyone but myself." Young people, that's a lie. The truth is, you're creating memories. We are all creating memories, either for good or for bad. I remember reading a book some time ago about sports history. It was about baseball. There was a story about a man by the name of John McGraw, the Baltimore Orioles. In 1894, the Orioles came to Boston for a routine ball game, but what happened that day was anything but routine. It turns out that McGraw got into a fight. No good reason for it. He'd been angry all day about other things. He got into a fight with a third baseman, and within minutes, all the players from both teams typically got into the brawl. Eventually, the warfare spread up into the stands. Fans were getting out of hand, and one fan started a fire. That fire spread until the entire ballpark burned to the ground. That's not all. The fire became so hot and uncontrollable that by the next morning, 107 buildings in Boston were burned. Now, you talk about affecting people's memories. At the turn of the century, in the city of Boston, one man, John McGraw, saw to it that the memories of multitudes were not blessed. There's no such thing as I'm hurting no one but myself. You know, some of our ladies utilize what's scrapbooking called creative memories. And of course, it's a system that helps people put all their photos and memorabilia together in these creative albums. And they have amazing scissors and amazing adhesives and all kinds of borders and embellishments and templates. And I've seen some of them, you have as well. It's pretty amazing to see what they do. But you know, all these years I've yet to see one with photos and memorabilia of, say, you know, the family's disasters and tragedies. Let me bring out this one. This is the car wreck when I crushed 3 vertebrae. And there's my CAT scan. And here's several pages of all of us when we had the stomach flu. You'll notice the mop and the bucket. Here's the section of pictures where Snowball got run over by a car. And I even have some of Snowball's fur right here in that cute little frame right there. You can tell by everyone's swollen eyes in the picture, that was a tough time for all of us. And look, this is the night Billy was arrested for DUI. Notice how I put the cute little bars in front of his mugshot? And the fingerprint, just like at the precinct. Isn't that creative? You know, those are memories. But I've yet to see a photo album like that. I'll tell you why, because memories are very, very powerful. And nobody wants to remember sin or heartache. So why not minimize those? And Jesus says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It's tough enough. Why not minimize? Jehoiada. His own memory, memories of him, and memories because of him. Ask yourself this morning, what kind of memories are you creating? What kind of memories will you create? This man alone was buried with the kings because what he did was simple. He did good in the land of Israel, both to God and to God's house. Anybody in this room, every Christian is a priest. And you can do good in the land of America, both towards God and towards God's house. That way you will create memories in your own mind. In others' minds, even in our Lord's mind. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for the example of this man you placed in your word for eternity. And I pray, Father, he'll be a reminder to all of us here that our lives make a difference for good or bad. And it also makes a difference in our own hearts and minds throughout our days. Thank you for our Lord Jesus, who will remember us because of our faith and his atoning work on the cross. And we do pray again, Lord, for our country. We're grateful for a nation in which we're allowed to meet and able to meet in freedom and in peace. Forgive us when we don't meet. Thank you for a country, Father, that has a heritage of so many people who have given their lives to ensure our way of life. May we not take it for granted. And by all means, Father, may we as your people be busy and diligent in your kingdom. We'll praise you for the fruit because of it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.